time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning there. Good morning. My message has gone off on my phone. I'm trying to do a little bit over here before we get diving into exactly what we're all about here. Appreciate all of you being here with us today. Let me get back to my notes. Hey, Mike, go to our website and pull up the shirt. I'm getting a lot of orders for the shirts. I'm picking the shirts up today, so we'll get them out to you in the next couple of days. But again, I want to make a clarification here. I did it yesterday, but it's important again today that if you're going to get one of the new team uniforms, the team uniform is a hat and a shirt, basically is what it is. But what happened to us the last time when we went to Washington, D.C., we got lost. Everybody's dressed in different colors and the crowd was big and we had people that got lost and we spent a lot of time trying to find lost people. So we don't want to do that. Plus two things. We want to have a clear message. A clear message when people say, what are you guys about? They're going to look at us and we're going to see. So we designed this shirt. Shirt's on the screen. Says, pass the salt with the hat, because the hat is an emblem of who we are. And then we have CoachDaveLive.com, because that's the website. See, I don't have a pass the salt website. I wish we did. Somebody owns that. I can't get it. Well, if I could, maybe it's worth more. And then, you could go, well, pass the salt.us and all that stuff. People don't remember that stuff. If it's not .com, it's really not worth a whole lot to you, okay? So I have CoachDaveLive.com. I have PTSALT. I have PTSALT.com. That didn't do us any good either. So we've marketed all of it as CoachDaveLive.com because I think it's easy to remember. And I say to folks, listen, I'm Coach Dave and I'm live. And hopefully they get that. I'm Coach Dave and I'm live. I'm Coach Dave and I'm live. Hopefully they remember that. So on the back of the shirt, it says the same thing, which is the focus of our ministry, friends, is pass the salt. That's the focus of the ministry. The ministry, even though we call it Coach Dave Live, Coach Dave Live says, pass the friggin' salt, will ya? Get out of the salt shaker. Pass the salt. We think that's a catchy phrase. So this is a team uniform, okay? So when we're out on the streets, you got the team uniform on. When we're in D.C., we'll have a team shirt on. We'll have a team hat. And that's why I said yesterday, some of you may want to get a larger shirt. Because if we're in Washington, D.C., and it's cold, and you want to put your team uniform jersey on the outside of a sweatshirt or something, well, you can't have a medium and do that probably. You're going to need a larger size to go over the outside of your clothes. So I just want you to understand what we're dealing with here. It doesn't do us a whole lot of good if you have a team uniform and it's covered up by your jacket. Okay? Am I making sense out there? And no, you don't have to buy a jersey. No, you don't have to buy one. You don't have to. Okay? You don't have to. But we're going to start mailing these out tomorrow. Well, I'll have them in my hand. Our good friend Terry Ladrick got them all printed up and ready to go. They are cardinal red. What you see on there right now is like a maroon. It's a different color for it. No, they're the same bright red that we had on the True Sound Like Hate shirts, okay? So these things are going out today, and I'm just telling you, if you're going to order one, remember, how do you want to size them? Do you want to upsize it to wear over something? You want one that – you get what I'm saying. Hey, those are going out today. So we want to have them by when we go to Washington, D.C. next weekend and here on out. Cool. All right. Thanks for Terry and others who helped with that logo and the ideas that we all put together to get them done. I wanted to put Matthew 5:13. I didn't want to put too much stuff on the shirt. It's just too much. So that's what we've settled with. Cool. Okay, listen, I got it's all over me today, and I want to get to it. But before I get to it, I want to go back to a little bit of the stuff that we covered yesterday. Okay. Give you a chance. I want to throw some of this stuff back and forth. And then today I'm going to do a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What? Yep. Yep. So some of you Baptists may want to go. You may want to leave. Some of you Methodists, some of you Lutherans, you may not want to hear this. Some of you Catholics, all of those things, which I were at one point in my life. But I just want to have a civil discussion here on what the heck is this thing? This thing called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But before I get that, I want to make it very, very clear so that I got some emails and a couple calls. And I listen, you know what? I'm not the expert. I'm a helmet head. I'm a football coach, for heaven's sakes. Fire baptized, by the way, but a football coach. And I'm my whole life, people have thought because I'm a football coach, I'm stupid. Not, man. I'm a pretty educated guy. I do a lot of reading. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me that guides me into all truth. And so I don't claim to be smart, but I claim to be connected. Okay? I claim to be connected to somebody who's pretty smart. So I don't like to say, thus saith the Lord, if it wasn't the Lord, if it was somebody else. Stay with me. I know this from deep down in my being, that Bill Barr at some point was deep state. You don't have to send me any more information about showing me how Bill Barr's deep state. Folks, he was part of Ruby Ridge. He covered up Ruby Ridge. You understand that? He's covered up many things. Bill Barr goes back to George H.W. Bush. He is the ultimate swamp creature. Okay? I get it, folks. But I also know this. The Bible tells us that the heart of the king is as water in the hand of the Lord. Right? Do you guys know that Bill Barr, when he left government, he went into the private sector. And he probably got his back scratched because of all the stuff he'd done when he was the attorney general. You know, he's worth about $40 million now. Bill Barr is. You can Google it. Look it up. He made it in the banking industry, whatever, you know, wherever they make it. Do you know Bill Barr's good buddies with Robert Mueller? You know that? I know all that stuff. I understand in coaching circles. A lot of you probably don't know this. Urban Meyer, was the football coach at Ohio State. Urban Meyer has what they call a coaching tree. What does that mean? Well, yep. You can go to a lot of different places and you're going to find people who coached under Urban Meyer. And they still, even though they're coaching against him, they're still friends of Urban Meyer.
Now, the good old boy network.
It's a good old boy network. Folks, you don't think there's a good old boy network in government? Come on, man. There's a good old boy network. And so do you think that even though Luke Fickell, let's say, Luke Fickell, Ohio State, is it Cincinnati, if he's coaching against Urban Meyer at Ohio State, does Luke Fickell want to beat Urban Meyer? Well, of course he does. Does he want to see Urban Meyer get fired? Of course he doesn't. Of course he doesn't. Because why? There is a kinfolk. What do they call that? There's a connection there, folks. And these deep state guys there, if you are anywhere high in any position in Washington, D.C., you are deep state. Somebody say amen. Say amen for me. Huh?
Amen.
Do you really think amen. Over the last however many years?
Amen.
Do you really think we've elected the president of the United States? Huh? Do you really think so? How do they get to be the candidate? Who says that? It's not me and you and our neighbor and our pastor. There's a system that raises, elevates these people to positions of authority. And they're raised to positions of authority because they are in the pocket of somebody else. Tell me you understand that, okay?
Amen, coach.
So therefore, Bill Barr clearly has deep state connections. Clearly does. Now, I want to bring something else into you as well. Because we all know this, don't we? I don't care who you are and how honest you are and how true you are. If some evil men get you in a room and threaten your children, it's going to make you think twice about doing the right thing. Can somebody say amen? I don't care how bold you are. I don't care how brave you are. I don't care what you think. If some men get you to the corner and say, hey, listen, it'd be awful if your grandson disappeared. It takes a whale of a man to stand up in the face of that. Amen. It takes a whale of a man to do that. And I can tell you this, Bill Barr, who's on the screen right now, in his own natural self, he can't do it. He can't do it. Right? I'm telling you, folks, so, as I said before, some of you guys, you won't even fight arguments in your churches. You won't even argue with the elders of your church. You won't even speak up on the job.
Amen.
And this guy gets elected, this appointed Attorney General of the United States, and you want him to be more than a man? You want him to not be influenced by worldly? Are you crazy if you think that way? But here's what encourages me. See, the Bible tells us this, that the heart of the king is as water in the hands of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. And as I said yesterday, I have no confidence in Bill Barr. I have confidence in the Lord who has his heart in his hand. Are you with me?
Huh? Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Larry. Yes, Larry, go ahead, whoever. I'm sorry.
Well, I was saying, you know, you were there and you prayed for him and you did touch. So I do believe that you did something. You did what you were supposed to do when you touched his heart.
I believe
now, the problem is he's got to go with that and do with what he needs to do with it.
That's right.
And, you know, so I think that's just where it is right now. There's a battle going on in our government.
Well, hey, Paul, how about this? How about this, Paul? Look at the crap Donald Trump's taken. Have you guys ever seen any presidential, anybody who's ever been able to put up with the crap that he's, could any other president have put up what he's put up with? No, there's a special anointing on President Trump. Whether you like it or want to admit it or not, there's a special anointing on him. Now, can that special anointing come on Bill Barr? I believe it can. Will it? Time will tell. I don't know. So listen, I'm not fooled. I get it. You don't become Attorney General of the United States twice and not be part of the deep state. Come on. Give me more credit than that, will you? I understand the game. I understand what's going on. But Bill Barr is nothing more than a tool in the hand of Almighty God. That's the way I see it. And so when we went to Bill Barr's house, it wasn't to give him big hugs and kisses and tell him how much we love him. It was partially a warning, brother. Do your job. You're representing a lot of us. You got a lot of responsibility on your shoulders, buddy. And we want you to know that we stand behind you for you to do the right thing. Now, because he doesn't appear to have done the right thing, does that mean our mission failed? Well, I don't think our mission failed. We did what we're supposed to do. John Adams says duty is ours. The consequences belong to God. Our duty was we went, we spoke, we delivered the message. Now, responsibility is in Bill Barr's hands. It's in his hands, right? So one of the things that really hit home with me was when we spoke to the FBI agent when we were at Bill Barr's house, and I said, does this happen very often that people come here? And what that agent say? If Gary Pierce is in there, he can tell you what that agent said. Gary was standing right beside me. The FBI agent, when I said, dude, does this happen often? He said, oh, no. Groups like you have never been here. Never have been here, is what he told me. See, never been here. So we delivered the mail. So I don't want any of you out there to think that I'm blindly following Bill Barr or I don't understand that he's deep state. But I will tell you this. Yesterday, as I knew probably would happen, the Department of Justice issued a statement saying that's not what General Barr said. That's not what he said. So, listen, we're taking information from the lying devil media. And folks, we're letting it get planted and grow inside us. We got to be careful. You got to be careful with your Holy Spirit filter. See, because I said yesterday, this is my initial reaction. When I read what Bill Barr had said, I said, something's not right. He wouldn't have said that. If he's going to screw over President Trump, he's just going to lay low. They're going to ask him, Attorney General Barr, what can you tell us about fraud in the election? The easiest thing for him to say was what? that's currently under investigation and I'm not allowed to talk about ongoing investigations. That's what he could have said. Now, I ask myself, why did he say what he said? I don't know. But there's a reason why he said what he said, and I don't, at this point, know what it is. Yeah, come on in, Paul.
Is there a difference between voter fraud and election fraud?
Or are they actually, he said, haven't yet seen anything? Maybe he hasn't seen it. Words, they parse words, right? They parse words. Remember, my trust is not in Bill Barr. If you're trusting in Bill Barr, you missed the whole point. Okay, now I'm going to shut up. I got something good coming today, but I want to just open it up and let some of you, vent's not the right word, but get off your chest what you'd like to say. So come on.
Very easy. No, Barr was doing a gaslighting. Now the media gaslights, they've gaslit us for over 4 years with this Russia crap. So a little turnabout, a little script revision, Barr gaslit us to galvanize us into action because mm-hmm. we are the missing component. We are.
Hey, Vinny, here's what it galvanized me into action. You ready for this one, Randy? I know I can't trust Bill Barr. I never trusted him. I know that more and more and more, you and I are going to have to do something. Amen. We the people, by the way, which is what I wrote about today, we the people are going to have to step to the plate. Folks, listen, if we get into the situation where we're expecting government to save us from government, we're the biggest fools to ever come down the pike. And what I see going on right now is all trust and confidence in government is dissipating, and it's an opportunity for we the people to once again exert our authority. That's the way that
absolutely. I
if Bill Barr were to go out and arrest all these guys, it would be hail government again. Folks, let's not fall back into that trap. Okay, this is going to be won by Sidney Powell. Did you guys see the guy? No, Lynn. What is that saying? Did you guys see him yesterday? Every time he speaks and Sidney Powell speaks, it's like a friggin' revival.
You see that?
And I say, thank God, God's people are running this thing, not the swamp rats. This is God's people on the outside saying, let's take our government back. That gives me great hope. As a
hey,
you mean I'm going to sit here and think Bill Barr's going to do it and the FBI is going to do it and the CIA, they're going to rope in their own? Come on. Ain't that stupid? And neither are you, right? There are things going on, bait and switch, bootlegs, double passes, hidden plays going on, and we can't see it. It's point counterpoint. It's move counter move. It's devil move, God's people move. And for too long, God's people ain't moved. We've let the devil do what he wanted to do, and we didn't counter it. And Lynn Wood said, okay, hey, Barr, take a seat. I'll handle this one.
Yeah,
that's
good.
That's what I said.
Coach, I think you're absolutely spot on, Coach, because I believe not only this, you know, the hands of the king are in the heart of, or the heart of the kings are in God's hands. Amen. Barr is not the king. No. He's not the president. I've never put my trust in Barr. But when I look at Donald Trump, let me tell you what, brother, there is absolutely, equivocally, undoubtedly that God's hand is on that guy, that mm-hmm. God's hand is also on Sidney Powell, that God's hand definitely is on Lynn Woods, that God's hand is mm-hmm. on Jenna's. I'm telling you, brother, that's what I'm seeing is where God is going
to switch, baby. Hey, Dave.
Because of the wickedness, Coach. Because of the wickedness and the evil, God has got to use anointed people, not politicians.
Do you guys think that Donald Trump trusts Bill Barr? I bet it's about as far as he can throw him.
Answer is no. He doesn't trust anybody in the swamp. That's right. Why you got to pass the salt to we the people. This is Ohio Brett here. I agree with the speaker who just was on that there is an anointing on Sidney Powell. There is an anointing in all these others, whoever those others are. Friends, listen to what Coach said in his opener. That is such a strong network of the good old boys. Nobody in a high-ranking position, Donald J. Trump's. Nobody.
None. But
they can still be used because what did Coach say earlier? Water in the hands. God, pass the salt, folks. God bless
Amen.
You, Coach.
Thank you, man. Hey, because listen, the only one on the scene, the way I see it, okay, stay with me. The only person on the scene that I'm aware of that is a self made man is sitting in the White House. He don't owe anything to any of those other people. He ain't part of that good old boy system. That's the way I see it. And everybody else is. Can you explain to me why the Republicans won't stand up and fight for him? Simple. They're part of the good old boy system. And he is not. Now, I'm not saying he's the second coming of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying he's a perfect man, that he's an infallible man. I'm not saying he hasn't done shady things in his past. I'm saying that he's been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. And he is separate and apart from that deep state. That's what I think. Somebody else, come in.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Coach. I just want to say that, you know, if we find ourselves, you know, disappointed about, you know, what the Attorney General Barr has been saying after we went down to his house, how do you think the Old Testament prophets must have been thinking and feeling, you know, when they would deliver their messages and be ignored by their own people?
Jeremiah never got one convert. Never had one convert, right? Right? Yeah, I'm with you. So we don't understand the machinations, the inward workings of what's going on. It's good.
The greatest thing about that rally yesterday was when Lynn Wood invoked the name of Jesus.
It was amazing. Did you guys see that? I should have had that prepared this morning. I'm telling you, friends, it the Holy Spirit all over Lynn Wood. Now, is the Holy Spirit all over Bill Barr? I don't even care. Bill Barr's a tool. He's just a tool in this thing. He's just a position holder in this thing. The Holy Ghost is all over Lynn Wood. Did you guys see the press conference with Phil Klein, who used to be Attorney General of the state of Kansas?
Webster, with the Federal Security Agency in Washington, D.C. I'm going to need a few moments of your
time. I got something in my ear. Folks, the Lord has strategically placed his people in this great battle. And we have to have eyes to see and hear, ears to hear, and the understanding to be able to work our way through this morass. As I said yesterday, it's a vortex. We can't be blasted apart with every wind and doctrine that comes blowing through Facebook today. There's a plan at work. Let it work. Yes, Larry.
You know, you mentioned a while ago about there seems to be a whole lot of folks, some of them supposed to be on our side, saying that they're not accepting Trump and all that because of his past. Well, I'll tell you what, if you judge somebody on their past, King David wouldn't have been very acceptable either, would he?
No. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? Do you guys, I'm not saying that Donald Trump has done this. You go talk to somebody who knew me back in 1985, and they find out I'm serving the Lord today, they would fall out of their chair. They would say, who? Him? Yeah, because something transformative happened inside of me. And if we don't understand that truly the heart of the king is water in the Lord's hands, that the Lord can use Trump, he can use Barr, he can use Lunsford, he is ultimately in control. If you miss that and don't understand, then you're counting, you're trusting in the hand of men to deliver us, folks. It ain't going to happen. I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that this solution comes outside of government. Lord, I pray that you raise up godly men and godly women and godly attorneys and godly pastors who are going to stand up and push back. And at the end of the day, it will be the church, the spirit-filled, fire-baptized, breathing Christians who will rise up and make this sacrifice to you, Lord. Lord, let it come through the church, through Christians, through your people, not government, not Bill Barr, not the FBI, not the CIA. Lord, you got men and women hidden all across this nation. Lord, I pray that you would cover them, that Psalm 91 over them, Lord, and you would direct and order their steps, and that Jesus Christ will once again at the end of this rise as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over America. I believe it to happen in Jesus' name. That's where Amen. I am, boys and girls.
Amen. Coach.
Hey, do you know right now? Do you know? Can I ask you something? You know right now they're already talking about who the next president's going to be. They're already talking about the next one's going to be. In other words, they're telling you who they're trying to set up to be the next one. All right? Come on. Come on. Why aren't the Republicans? Why aren't the Republicans in Trump's corner? Because they want Trump to go away. Because, pardon my French, their ass is going to get caught up in this mess as well. Right? So they just want to get him out of here. Get him out of here. Did you see Lynn Wood? Lynn Wood yesterday, he's the attorney. He stood on that podium and he said this. I understand libel laws. Did you guys watch this? He says, trust me, I understand libel laws. And because I understand libel laws, I want to say, Governor, whoever that guy is in Georgia, Governor, what's his name? I can see his face.
Kemp.
Governor Kemp. Lynn Wood says, Governor Kemp, you are a criminal and you need to be in jail. And then he said, Secretary of State, and I can't remember his name, you are a criminal and you deserve to be in jail. And if I'm lying you, sue me for libel. Now.
That won't happen.
That's not like talking to the gentleman across the aisle. I'm my dear friend across the aisle. See, there's something going on here, folks. There's something going on. This governmental kingdom has to come down. It's got to come down.
Coach, here's a parallel. And this just came to me. The fact of the matter is why do the Republicans hate Trump? Is the same reason the church loves its comfortability. We just want things to stay as they are. My life not being rocked. That's what these politicians have been. They just don't want their life to be rocked. But now we're seeing the church wake up. Not only did I watch Lynn Woods, I watched the Michigan hearings. I'll watch OAN news, and that's about it. I don't watch even local news. Brother, let me tell you what. The politicians are being shook up because the church is being shook up.
Hey, Dale, one of the witnesses yesterday was in Michigan. I don't know, Rudy had a – that one witness said to the state senator up there asking questions. She stopped him. She says, listen, I filed an affidavit under oath. Have you? Huh? Truth's going to win, boys and girls. Truth is going to win. Can I tell you why? Because we have – the Lord, praise the name of Jesus, the Lord has moved us outside the governmental realm. We are outside that governmental realm, boys. Those kings of the earth who conspired against the Lord and his anointed, those bands are being busted. If you can't see it
– Can you hear me?
You're watching with natural eyes. Yeah, I can hear you. Come on in. Yes, I can hear. Come on in.
Ah, hello there. It's me.
Who's me?
Me, Grandpa.
Hey, Grandpa, what's up?
I was just calling to ask how you were. You're not visiting often these days.
Nope. Let's move on to somebody else there. Yep. We got those trolls jumping. Hey, Coach. Randy, come on in, Randy.
Coach, can you see the fire of God in Linwood?
Yes, I do.
Coach, this is setting – you're probably just setting up here for what you're going to speak on the rest of the show here. Yeah. Coach, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is the baptism of fire. He's the fire, Coach. It ain't me. I'm just the guy. It's the fire of God. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what we're getting ready to see.
Randy, the Bible says it's like fire caught up in my bones.
Amen.
And I want to ask you something, friends. Is fire caught up in your bones? Do you feel like fire caught up in your bones? And if you don't, can I ask why? Could it become because it's been years and years and years and years of programming to sit in the pew? There is no Holy Spirit. There is no fire. There is none of that stuff. Just sit here and let us throw an old rug over there and keep you smoldering, sitting there. But don't let any fire and any smoke come off of you. Well, you come in here every Sunday and you pay your tithes. You sit right there and there's no supernatural thing going on and there's no Holy Spirit and there's certainly no baptism in the Holy Spirit. And next thing you know, that you're going to be speaking in tongues and you're going to roll on the ground and barking and we're not going to have that going on in here. Because we believe the Bible and the Bible says, are you with me? And there's no supernatural power in the church today, folks. None.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
It's called Bibleism.
Well, it's called Bibleism. Now, listen, as I'm going to move in here a second, okay? Because here's what's happened to us. Anytime you talk about the baptism and the Holy Spirit, it always goes to tongues. The argument always goes to tongues. And I'm going to tell you something. That's the devil. Not the tongues. The division of the argument. The division of the truth always goes to tongues. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care whether you speak in tongues or not. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is real. Can I tell you why? I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. I was an old Catholic boy. I'm going to try to say this out weeping. Hellion. Go to church, make the sign of the cross, get that holy water on. I wouldn't have known Jesus if he'd have fallen down, sat down right beside me in the pew. For years and years and years and years, I lived like that. And then one night, I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I ran to the altar. And I fell on my knees, and I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I walked away from that. I walked away from that altar a brand new man in Christ. So it says, that's what the Bible says. Behold, all things became new. The next day, when I went to school the next day, there's something different about me. I couldn't explain it to my friends. Something happened to me last night. I couldn't explain it to them. I was born again. I was 35 years old and born again. And I didn't even understand it. And then about 3 weeks later, we were back in church, or maybe it was longer than that. It wasn't much longer than that. And somebody asked a question that came out of Book of Acts. So they got it right up here. Acts 19. Pull it up there, Mike. Pull it up there. They asked me this question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Huh? And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Not everybody. He found certain ones. He said unto them, hey, boys, time out a minute, Ohio Brett. What is a disciple? What is a disciple? It's someone.
A teammate. Needs coached up. And he can lead, but he needs coached up.
That's right. And so what does he find when he comes back? Certain disciples. Some of his teammates. And he looks around at what's going on, and something ain't adding up to Paul. Something's not adding up. And so he goes to his certain disciples, and what's he says? Hey, boys, let me ask you something. Have y'all received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now, I don't know how you unpack that question. That would be like saying to somebody, when you come to my house, and you're welcome in my house and you're a guest and we'd love to have you. And my wife would say to you, have you had any banana bread since you got here? Well, why would she ask that? Because the banana bread's here. And you just came in. And so she's saying, have you got any banana bread since you came in here? And what did they say to him? The disciples, teammates, Ohio Brett, his teammates, what did they say? What are you talking about? We ain't even heard of it. We ain't never heard of no Holy Ghost. And he said,
we never heard of contain. We never heard of my job responsibility.
Oh, and Paul said unto them, well, dude, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, why, John's baptism. I got plunked in the water. I got saved. And then Paul said, well, Johnny, I'm sorry, whoever this guy is, John baptized you in the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him, which should, John baptized you into a public proclamation that you're one of God's children. That's what John baptized you in. And that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they said, are you kidding me? You mean there's more? Give it to me! And then Paul laid his hands upon them and the Holy Ghost came on them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now look, here's what happens. They put that tongues word in there, and nobody wants to talk. See, the focus of the Holy Spirit ain't tongues, boys and girls. The focus of the Holy Spirit's power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. How do you know? Because I did it. I received that power.
Yes.
You say, Coach, I never seen anybody like you. You're so full of energy. I receive power. It's like a dad going, I'm pointing over here, an electric outlet. You stick your finger in it and you light up. I've got that connection. Have you watching right now ever received the baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
And I would say, many of you would say, I never even heard of such a thing. In fact, my pastor said that isn't for today. That was only for the first century. Only Paul needed power. Only the disciples needed power. It's not for today. Oh, tongues have ceased. Oh, miracles, they vanished away. That's all gone.
Where's the banana bread?
That word power, Coach, is dunamis. It is where we get dynamite. It is the explosive power that destroys what? The Son of God was manifested to destroy the works of darkness. We are supposed to be this dunamis dynamite power that literally blows up the enemy's camp.
Amen, Dale. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. Let's take the tongues out of there. Let's take the tongues.
That's on base an hour ago.
And then all the men were about 12.
Don't give me that crap, Kowalski.
Why, then he went into the synagogue and he spoke. How? How did he speak? Boldly for 3 months. Was he speaking boldly before he received the Holy Spirit? I don't think so. I don't think so. And the sad stuff is, sad part is, some of you are going to be set free today because some of you have been followers of Jesus Christ your whole life. And you serve him with all your might and you love him with all your might. But you have never received that power from on high. You've never received it. And why haven't you received it? Because they told you it wasn't real. Hey, wait a minute. We might as well tear out this chapter. What chapter is this, Mike? Which chapter am I? 19. Is this Acts 19? Or is it 4? What do I have you doing on that? Yeah, let's rip this one out. Let's rip this one out because Paul was obviously drunk. He was obviously drunk. He said, I mean, he obviously was drunk. He's babbling. He's speaking in an unknown language. He's obviously drunk. Let's tear that one. I don't know how that got through. Oh, I don't know how that got through the Facebook censors. I don't know how that got through the King James censors, but there it is.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
You know, there's some folks listening right now who rightfully so are thinking of scriptures and they're saying something's wrong here. They're saying Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, says that there's one God, one faith, one baptism, and now you're talking about another baptism? Well, see, in order for that verse in Ephesians 4 to be correct, and the fact that there is an additional baptism to be correct, as we have to have a misunderstanding somewhere there. And the misunderstanding is in the meaning of the word baptism.
There you are, Larry.
The root of the word baptism is cleanse. Cleanse. And see, there's only one cleansing. That's the blood of Jesus Christ for the sins of the world.
Amen.
That's only one cleansing there. But there are more than one ceremonial additional cleanings or whatever you want to call them, and the baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire is one of them. So those of you that are stuck on the one baptism thing, there is only one baptism that covers the sin of the world, and that's Jesus.
That's right. Acts 1, Mike. Acts 1.
Hey,
folks, hang on a second, Alan. Hey, folks, I don't want to, I hate to scare you, but the entire book of Acts is nothing but the fire of the Holy Spirit in a new group of believers. That's all the book of Acts is. Go ahead, Alan.
My pastor's wife, she always says, for people that finally get a hold of the Holy Ghost, she said, this thing's better felt than told, ain't it?
It's better felt than... I can't explain it to somebody. Book of Acts. So the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive and passed by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking things pertaining to the kingdom of God, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you shall have heard of me. These are born again guys sitting around, and he says, got to wait for the promise. What promise would that be? And when they were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, when are you going to restore that again, the kingdom to Israel? And he said, well, that's not for you to know times and seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But you shall receive power. When? When that Holy Ghost has come upon. Folks, these guys are already saved.
Now, Coach, you're going to bring that to Acts 2:38 and 39, right? Because then it's identified what you just said. He says, now you're going to wait. You're going to, these are born-again believers. These are Jesus followers, and they're going to get this. And then Peter comes out and says, now I want to tell you what we got, what we just received. This is not only for us, it's for you, your children's children, as many far off and as many as the Lord calls. It's a never-ending thing.
Hey, Coach.
You shall receive power. Hang on a second. After the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And then what's going to happen when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? Well, you're going to be witnesses in your stinking neighborhood. You're going to stand up and start speaking the oracles of God in Jerusalem and Judea and the uttermost parts of the world. That's going to happen to you when you receive the power. Some of you haven't received the power. Go ahead. Come on in.
Coach, the question is in verse 6, and the answer is in verse 8, Coach. That question was, are you, Lord, going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And the answer is when you receive power. That's the answer, Coach. The Holy Spirit is the answer.
Amen. Amen. Acts 2, Mike. Hey, listen. I'm going to tell you something.
Hey, Dave.
Just a second, Roger. Hang on.
Okay.
You guys, you're welcome to sit. You're welcome to sit in the low levels of Christianity if you want to. I'm not trying to make you do anything. Maybe your Baptist pastor is right. Maybe the power of the Holy Ghost isn't around anymore. Maybe he's right. Maybe your Lutheran minister with his collar was on. Maybe he had it right. Maybe that 6-foot icicle in your Presbyterian church, maybe he had it right. But I'm telling you, I got hold of something. Now, I don't know what it is, and it's real. Good, Roger?
Well, no, I isn't it so much more than speaking in tongues?
Yeah, but see, we make it about speaking in tongues, so it seems goofy. We make it goofy then, see?
That's my point. Because, see, I'm an old-time Presbyterian, married a Baptist girl, but all that's irrelevant to me. I'm a follower of Christ, the King. And, you know, I don't adhere to speaking in tongues, but I know I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I know he guides and directs me. I know there's things that have happened in my life that are miracles because of me knowing him as my Savior. Now, I might disagree with tongues, but I don't live and die on tongues as it relates to my faith.
Listen, I'm not even going to argue over tongues, but let me ask you a question, Roger. Why would you disagree with tongues? Who told you that? Is that something you looked up on your own? I think we lost Roger. He didn't get mad and go away.
I think what he's referring to is denominations. These right. are the things that create denominations.
That's right.
Now,
we don't believe that. Mark, we don't believe that here. We don't believe that.
All right, so you got the rulers and the elders of the church who creates the denominations. But really, why are they successful? Well, speaking in tongues is a mask. Laying on of hands is a mask. Healing is a mask. See, people want to be a part of a group of people. They don't want to worry about Jesus. They want to be a part of a group of people. And all of the denominations are basically different forms of masks. I don't want to wear that mask. I want to wear this mask. They wear that mask. I wear this mask.
Right.
Where does Jesus fit in any of that?
Well,
you know, it's man's doctrine that the government is dishing out. It's man's doctrine that the pastors are dishing out. It's man's doctrine that we long after, because we're not connected like you are, Coach, to the power source, right?
Let me tell you this, Mark. I say this before everybody's watching, even those homosexuals that continue to send me those vile pictures. I say it in front of them. I had a born-again experience and a fire baptism experience. I had both.
Amen.
And there's not going to be any 6-foot icicle tell me that didn't happen, because it did.
You know what a 6-foot icicle is in the church? He's an extension cord. Have you ever plugged into an extension cord and you don't have power?
Yeah.
And you find out your extension cord's not plugged in. So what do? You go around the extension cord and check your power. See, we don't ever need to plug into another extension cord. We need to plug right into Jesus.
Well, that's right. But your 6-foot icicle tells you there isn't another cord. There isn't another cord.
Hey, Coach, Mark,
they don't make those cords anymore. That's an old-fashioned cord. That was a cord they only used back in the Book of Acts, and that cord's gone. The Lord now, he's on the
Wi-Fi. So what do you do? You go around the extension cord and check your power.
Yeah.
See, we don't ever need to plug into another extension cord. We need to plug right into Jesus.
Well, that's right. And, but the 6-foot icicle tells you there is another cord. There is another cord. And because they don't make those cords anymore. That's an old-fashioned cord. That was a cord they only used. I'm getting feedback in my ear, Mike. I'm not hearing whoever's speaking. There you go. Thanks.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
How many times have you ever seen a demon cast out in a Catholic service, a Baptist service, Lutheran service, Episcopalian service? You don't hear it. You don't see it. It don't happen.
It's not for today, Alan. It's only for movies.
Come on. That's why these devils is taking our nation over. That's why
Listen, I got to make this clarification with you, because this is one of the hey, listen, folks, I don't care what your theology is. I'm just trying to set you free, okay? I don't care. You don't have to agree. You can say I'm a heretic. I don't care. I'm telling you, I can't even tell you how little it doesn't matter to me. But I want you to know that one of the things that they do, the devil does. Friends, there's a difference between speaking in tongues and giving a tongue. Speaking in tongues is a private prayer language that you are supposed to execute in your private communication with the Holy Spirit. The giving of a tongue is when somebody stands up in the middle of the congregation and starts to utter in an unknown language. And the Bible says when someone is giving a tongue, there must be an interpreter. Someone has to then come in and say what that person just said. But if you are in your prayer closet, you and the Holy Spirit, and this prayer language comes upon you, you don't need an interpretation of that. You don't even know what you're saying, because the Bible said you're speaking to angels. Oh, come on.
Hey, Coach.
You twisted it. They've twisted it. They think praying in tongues requires a public explanation of what the guy just said. And that is not what the scripture teaches. Go ahead. Come on in.
Hey, Coach. I got a scripture for you. And this is something, because I'm an old Catholic kid that grew up and didn't know the difference between a Baptist and a Methodist and
I still a
Episcopalian.
Don't.
So I just went straight to the Bible when these things. The first thing that I think we always need to see is when the word prophesy comes out, there's different things people, you know, there's a lot of people think they're prophetic, but they're more pathetic. Not under the anointing, but the annoying, because they just kind of ramble. And we got to look at that. You first sign really of filled with the Holy Spirit is you speak the word of God in Acts 2 into with power. They asked to pray to heal and to do the different signs, but it said when the Holy Spirit did come upon them, they spoke the word of God in power. Mm-hmm. But I think you want to go to 1 Corinthians 12 is what you just said, and I'll say it through scripture, where it says there are diversities of gifts, but mm-hmm. the same Spirit. Amen. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God.
Amen.
Works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of who? All.
Right.
To one is given the word of wisdom through how? The Spirit. Now, all these is the gifts, remember.
Right.
To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Who's that Spirit? The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Not a thing, and it, the Holy Spirit is a he. Now here's another. It says, to another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by this same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of, here we go, tongues. Different kinds of what? Tongues. And what you was just talking about, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing to each one individually. And these last three words are the really, for me, is where I kind of just rest, is as he wills.
Mm.
We've got to have the thing of, there's a big thing of difference between unity and conformity.
You want to go to 1 Corinthians 12 is what you just said, and I'll say it through scripture.
I don't know if I could hear myself on that one. But there's a big difference.
1 Corinthians 12. Between
unity and, yeah, that's.
And uniformity. They're not the same.
Right.
Unity and uniformity are not the same thing.
And denominations try to make you the same. That's the work of the enemy, is to bring division. It's kind of like, let's all look at the gift God gave me, and that's how we should all have that gift. Well, no. It's like a coach, it's a football team. We all can't be the quarterback. there's different gifts given. There's a thing of where I train some kids, you know, you remember one, 6'7", 300 pounds. As much as he would have loved to have been a defensive safety, he wasn't given that gift. He was given a gift to be on the line.
That's right. Defensive backs. That's
the thing about when we look at that, it's allowing, and that's, to me, the true love and the acceptance is to look at the remarkability and the creativity of who God is through the power of his Holy Spirit to touch each one of us, that we're like one diamond held up to the light and you see the reflection of many colors, but it's one diamond held to one light. And when the Holy Spirit works upon the church, one moves in this way, one moves in interpretations of tongues, one can move in this and this, and why? It's all for the edification of the church by who? The Holy Spirit, and he is the one that gives it.
Amen. That's all I got. Amen, Pastor Tom. Go ahead, Mark. Can
continue that one more into Romans 12:3. One more thought. When he doles this out, when he doles out what he doles out as God, the gifts, this kind of is what I believe. And I don't know if that's it.
But listen, Mark, listen, folks, please hear me. Folks, please hear me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It's for everyone. And Amen. It's through that baptism that your gift is manifested. You don't get baptized Amen. In the gift of healing. You get baptized, and healing comes with that gift.
Amen.
And we get, it says that according as God hath dealt to every man,
oh, man.
The measure of faith. Mm. So the word measure, this is important in my opinion, because how do we receive our gifts? What is that about? It's about how much faith do we have. And this is where I talk about a BFG. Do you give your recruit on the battlefield the biggest, most dangerous weapon? You don't. So he has to demonstrate faith in order to be empowered with more gifts or more power within his gift.
That's true, Mark, but how about this? Do you guys understand that this gift that you see here every day and when I'm out on the streets, do you understand that this gift is what it is because I've exercised it? Do you understand that? Do you understand it gets stronger as I move in that gift? And you just can't come on and watch a show and say, boy, I want to be like Coach. Do you really? Do you really want to pay the price and go through what I've gone through to exercise and develop this gift? The gift's given to all of us. But you're being told in your church that there isn't any gift. Right. There isn't any gift. There isn't any Holy Spirit. No wonder the devil's running over everybody. That's for the first century. It was just they needed it back then. Like, we don't need it now?
Well, that's the key right there, Coach. Many of these churches want to say that they needed it, but we don't. And they don't deny what the Bible talks about, except for, and you got to get to that Acts chapter 2, 30, 38 and 39, because that right there, that crosses the T and it dots the I, that was not only for Peter. And that wasn't just for their children or their children's children, but as many far off and as the Lord calls. So if the Lord has called me, then is it for me? The answer is simple. Yeah.
So now,
Coach, can I give just a quick expansion on the extension cord?
Just give it.
Okay. I want to have a 10-gauge, 6-foot extension cord, not a 300-foot 16-gauge extension cord. The same electricity is there. It just doesn't have the power when you get too far away from the source.
Amen. 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 Look, I'm running out of time. Let me wrap this up here today. Let me wrap this up today. One of the themes of this show is that, well, there's so much we've been taught that's not true, and so much that's true that we haven't been taught. And it all has to do with a 6-foot icicle or whatever that you are sitting under. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because it is power to everyone that believes. I'm not ashamed of it. And the truth of it is, you have been taught to be ashamed of it, because why? You have never been endued from power on high, because your pastor told you there wasn't any such thing. And then the other side of it that is just as bad, the charismaniacs, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then they're swinging the flags, and they're dancing, and they're running around, and they're doing all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff, and go for it, baby, go for it. But it's the power to change lives, to manifest the Spirit of God. That's what we need. We don't need flags. We don't need songs. We don't need marches. We don't need dances. We need obedience. That's all we need. That's all we need. But see, you can't exercise a gift if you don't know you have it. Right now, I could go to the top of the hill. If I got to move some gravel, I'm confident I can do it. You know why? Because Randy sent me a skid steer. And I'm going to go up there, and I'm going to turn that key, and blah, 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 that thing's going to take off, and I'm going to go move me some gravel. Why? Because I have been endued with that skid steer from Randy, and I know it's available to do the work that I need it to do. But you have been taught through your religious traditions that there is no longer any power. And the sad thing is, Americans' Christian pews are filled with born-again people with no power. Somebody say amen. Come on. That's a good time to say it.
Amen. Amen.
I believe they're born again. I believe they're born again. I believe they're going to heaven. But they're getting, pardon my friends, they're getting their ass kicked every day because they ain't got any power. They can't do anything about it. And they're just getting there all beat up and bruised up. And finally, they'll get out of here. That's not the way this life's supposed to be. Jesus said, you will do greater things. You're going to do greater things. Why? Because he that was with you is going to be in you, endued
with
power on high.
Okay. Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Doubt. Well, you know, and some of your charismaniac churches, they think that they're empowered. They take it to the extreme where they think if they got big screens, skinny jeans, and fog machines, they've got it all going on.
It's fake power. It's fake power. Okay, right. So listen. I'm going to be obedient right now because the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray right now. If you want to mute yourself, that would be okay. But I'm going to pray something. I want you all, listen, you could say right now, Lord, I don't even know if this is real. I don't even know if it's real. But Lord, if there's more, if there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, I want it, Lord. I want it. And Lord, I'm not going to chase after I ain't chasing after tongues, and I ain't chasing after the gift of healing. Lord, I just want more of you, and I want your power to fall on me. Even though, Lord, I have a hard time believing it's true. I've heard so many things about it, and this is weird, and that's where. Lord, I just want more. So if you would, just close your eyes, and if you want to receive it, you don't have to. You can reject it. Lord, you said that the transference of the Holy Spirit, we would receive power after the Holy Spirit comes upon us. And Lord, it says in your word that that would happen by the laying on of hands. And Lord, we're not able to do this right now in this meeting that we're in. But Father, I would just ask that supernaturally, we would be able to reach through the screen and lay hands on the shoulders of my brothers and sisters. And Lord, that they would receive that power from on high, Lord, that you would baptize them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet with the power of the Holy Spirit. Let them be filled today in Jesus' name. Amen. Boys and girls, the Bible tells us that you have not because you ask not. And I'm going to tell you, those of you who said that prayer, all throughout the day, call upon the Lord and say, Lord, show me that power.
Amen.
Lord, let me feel that power. Lord, let me know
Amen.
That power is real. Because we will get nothing done without the power of the Holy Spirit. What's worse, man? What can be worse? A church full of people and no power. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.